Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond. A podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. Workplace Environment Architect, Work From Home Facilitator, Cyber Calamity Forecaster, Fitness Commitment Counselor, Data Detective. Have you ever heard of any of these jobs? If you're like me, probably not. But according to an article by the World Economic Forum from 2021, they number among the jobs emerging in the wake of the pandemic. Of course, it's difficult to predict which jobs are coming, which others will disappear, especially in light of developments with artificial intelligence. But as PricewaterhouseCoopers wrote in their 2018 report, Workforce of the Future, adaptability in organisations, individuals and society is essential for navigating the changes ahead. It's impossible to predict exactly the skills that will be needed even 5 years from now, so workers and organisations need to be ready to adapt. And this has been borne out by many studies. In 2021, McKinsey and Company identified 56 so-called deltas, distinct elements of talent, that will help citizens thrive in the future of work, one of which is adaptability. In fact, it found that people who were more proficient in adaptability were 24% more likely to be employed. Likewise, a 2022 article by Harvard Business School revealed that nearly three-quarters of the 1,500 executives they interviewed rated adaptability as being the leadership trait most critical for success in the digital era. Interestingly, it scored significantly higher than curiosity, creativity, and comfort with ambiguity. The authors explained that leaders who only drew on past experiences or their knowledge when making decisions would be caught completely unawares. They said that leaders must learn to stretch their own imagination and creativity to envision what the future could be for the company and its stakeholders, anticipate possible scenarios, and prepare to adapt to whatever unfolds. Today, people often use the terms flexibility, adaptability, and resilience interchangeably, but there are subtle differences. The Center for Management and Organization Effectiveness defines the first two as follows. While adaptability is the ability to adjust your situation to suit a new environment, flexibility is the willingness to do so. The more you're willing to change or compromise, the more flexible you are. In a 2021 article by McKinsey & Company, the difference between adaptability and resilience is made clear. Whereas resilience is seen to be bouncing back from a difficult situation, adaptability is seen as bouncing forward into something new. As they point out, resilience often entails responding well to an external event, while adaptability moves us from enduring a challenge to thriving beyond it. Let's have a look at an example of adaptability. In the early 19th century, newspapers became affordable for the masses. They thus became a form of mass media, remaining so for almost 200 years. But then, in the first two decades of the 21st century, according to the Pew Research Center, weekday circulation of US daily newspapers more than halved. Technological advancements and changes in consumer behavior meant that news organizations had to look for new business models and alternative revenue streams. They had to embrace online platforms, develop mobile apps, and explore ways to use social media. In 2015, they turned to Facebook and Twitter, which were seen as being increasingly influential news sources. But now, only a few years later, news organizations are focusing more on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube in an attempt to engage with the under-25s. The 24/7 news cycle has meant that newsrooms have to react swiftly to breaking news and deliver real-time updates. They've had to look for new ways to present content, including shorter, more concise articles to cater for decreased attention spans, as well as more engaging ways of presenting information, such as infographics and explainer videos. Today, vertical video storytelling, so filming in portrait mode instead of the landscape mode that we're familiar with in films, short-form video storytelling and audio are all growing in importance, and news organisations are also experimenting with augmented reality and virtual reality. And of course, the huge advances in artificial intelligence since 2022 mean that there are now not only new opportunities waiting to be explored, but also challenges. These are discussed in the article, Is ChatGPT a Threat or an Opportunity for Journalism? 5 AI Experts Weigh In, by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism. One of these experts, computational journalist Francesco Marconi, believes that journalists have an important role to play in the development of new AI tools because they can bring in journalistic principles to the new technology. He explains that the news industry must be actively engaged in the AI revolution. In fact, media companies have an opportunity to become a major player in the space. They possess some of the most valuable assets for AI development: text data for training models, and ethical principles for creating reliable and trustworthy systems. If the news industry had not been adaptable, but rather sought to exploit the old formats instead of embracing digital technology, it wouldn't have survived. Indeed, not all news organisations did. Thus, a culture of adaptability and continuous learning is absolutely vital. Journalists and others in the industry have to continuously keep pace with emerging technologies, new trends, and the evolving behaviour of their audiences. And this is, of course, just one example. Can we measure adaptability? Natalie Frato is a tech investor, which means she has to work out which startups have the potential to succeed. She's said that IQ is the minimum you need to get a job, but AQ, adaptability quotient, is how you'll be successful over time. In fact, some people believe that all three quotients, so IQ, EQ, and AQ, all have a role to play in helping us to solve problems and therefore adapt. And ideally, a person would have all three. IQ would enable us to get the qualifications we need for a job. Emotional intelligence, or EQ, would help us to establish a connection with the interviewer, as well as later with team members, bosses, and clients. And AQ would prepare us when parts of our work become automated, skills are no longer needed, or new technology is introduced, so that we can adapt accordingly, embrace these new challenges, and learn new skills. Frato talks about the importance of AQ in her short 2019 TED Talk, Three Ways to Measure Your Adaptability and Improve It. She explains how she assesses startup founders. While some investors focus on a founder's IQ by looking at where they studied or previously worked, others measure a founder's EQ by looking at their team-building skills. Frato, on the other hand, looks at how adaptable startup founders are. Hence, she measures their adaptability quotient, believing that it can be measured, evaluated, and improved. She does this by using three techniques, which she also sees as being important for everyone, so not just in a business context. The first technique is asking what-if questions. Rather than getting people to delve into past experiences, so asking founders to tell me about a time when, she prefers to get them to think about situations that might occur, such as, what would you do if your main revenue stream were to dry up overnight? This changes how we think, forcing our brains to simulate and be creative, rather than merely drawing on past experiences. Of course, this is also a key question for creative thinking. The second one is looking for signs of unlearning. By this, she means a person's ability to challenge something that they've learned, then to unlearn it and relearn or replace it with new information. She gives the example of engineer Destin Sandlin, who unlearned to ride a bicycle and relearned to ride what he called his backwards brain bicycle. This bike had been altered so that when he turned the handlebars left, the front wheel turned right, and vice versa. It took him 8 months to relearn how to ride this new bicycle. And before you think that this can't be so hard, he gave a fascinating TED-Ed talk about this, where you can also watch what happens when other people give it a try. Finally, Frato looks to what extent the founders include exploration in their lives and work. Instead of being comfortable with the status quo in a business context and just building on this all the time, so exploiting what you already have, it's very important to also be able to look ahead for what could potentially challenge your business in the future. So exploring ahead. She explains that it's the tension between exploitation and exploration that's key. How else can we develop our adaptability? First of all, let's take a closer look at unlearning. Of course, no one is suggesting we all go out and unlearn how to ride a bicycle. But nevertheless, the ability to unlearn is absolutely central for our ability to thrive in the future. At the current pace of disruption, there are many things that we'll have to unlearn during the course of our lifetime. Not just activities or ways of doing things, but also skills and knowledge that we no longer use, and mindsets and ways of thinking that might have been important in the past, but are no longer of help. In fact, today, unlearning has in many ways become just as important as learning. In an interview for Agile Lean Island 2019, Barry O'Reilly, entrepreneur and author of the 2018 book Unlearn, explains, "Unlearning is the process of letting go, reframing, and moving away from once useful mindsets and acquired behaviours. It's not forgetting, removing, or discarding knowledge or experience. It's a conscious act of letting go of outdated information and actively taking in new information to inform effective decision-making and action. Unlearning requires us to be curious and aware of changes, to react in an agile manner, to know when to let go of something that's no longer helpful. To this end, it's important we choose courage over comfort, so we're willing to step out of our comfort zone and experiment with new ideas or innovation, and don't just continue doing things because this is the way we've always done them. Embracing change is another key strategy for boosting adaptability, according to business leaders. Change is inevitable, so we need to look for the future potential instead of focusing on the past or the negative. In addition, they cite the importance of keeping an open mind, so learning to actively listen to what others are saying and withholding judgment until you're in possession of all the facts, and at the same time, leaving your ego at the door. Adopting a growth mindset with an emphasis on learning, progress, and mastery. Creating deeper and more diverse connections with other people to create support networks. So, pay attention to others, listen carefully, and suspend judgment. And step into the other person's shoes to gain a better understanding of their perspective. Accepting failure and seeing it as a learning opportunity. And instead of talking about failure, reframe it as a way to grow because we can learn from it. Of course, this also means having a safe environment in which to do so. People will only fully participate if they feel safe. It's thus also important to foster connections within the team so that members feel supported by one another. As we can see, these are all strategies that are key for the classroom too. The need for students to develop adaptability. In an interview for Stanford University's Entrepreneurial Thought Leaders series, Deb Liu, CEO of Ancestry, says that she would rather hire someone with adaptability than someone with expertise. She explains that schools often focus on mastery. The person with the most knowledge is the person who's the best. But this isn't the case in the workplace. It's about the person who learns the fastest, adapts the most, accepts feedback the most, the person who has a learning mindset. This is because they're not thinking about the way things have been done before, but the way things could be done. She sums it up by saying, "In the workplace, expertise is valuable, but adaptability is way more valuable." A 2023 article by the World Economic Forum entitled "Education 4.0, Here Are Three Skills That Students Will Need for the Jobs of the Future," explains that Education 4.0 reimagines education as an inclusive, lifelong experience that places the responsibility for skill building on the learner, with teachers and mentors acting as facilitators and enablers. The article goes on to present three critical skills that should be part of every student's personal curriculum. These are problem solving, collaboration, and adaptability. It says that a student who is adaptable shows comfort with uncertainty, sudden changes, and unfamiliarity, makes decisions and develops solutions under pressure, shifts seamlessly from following to leading, and welcomes opportunities to learn new topics and master new skills. Their findings are also based on research by an Australian research team that's been studying students' responses to uncertainty, novelty, and change over the last decade. The latest study in 2022 was in response to the speed and shift to remote learning due to the pandemic. It tested students' adaptability and how they fared with online learning. Their findings have shown that learning to adapt requires cognitive, behavioural and emotional adjustments that include developing resilience, buoyancy and self-regulation. Their research has also highlighted the positive links between adaptability and students' engagement and achievement at school and higher education. Today, technology is advancing at an unprecedented pace, disrupting industries and changing the nature of work as we know it. Many jobs that exist today may well become obsolete in the future, and new ones will emerge. We need to remain open, continuously update our skills and mindsets, learn new technologies, and embrace new ways of working. We need to be adaptable. Yet it's not enough to learn to become adaptable once we enter the workplace. It's something that has to be firmly integrated into schools and curricula right from the start. So it's high time we reevaluate the way we see knowledge, skills and attitudes and how they're taught in schools. Thanks for listening.
Teaching English Today, The Four C's and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gerch was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.